We are two lines up from the bottom on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. We've been discussing the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim as to whether an idolater can nullify his idol by selling it or selling it to someone, Jew or non-Jew, or giving his collateral to Jew or non-Jew. And that was that machlokas, and we discussed all the different machinations of how that could possibly work. Now the Gemara relates something similar. Tan Rabbanan, love aleha, and the idolater borrowed against the idol, he borrowed money against the idol, thereby in some manner nullifying it because he's not using it anymore. Osha nafalem apolis, or a wall collapsed on top of the idol. Osha ganvu listem, or thieves came and stole the idol. Osha hinichu habalim v'hochulum dinas hayam, or the owners left the idol and left the country. So the Mishnah mentions, the Braisa mentions four cases. What is the halacha? So the Gemara says as follows, the following criteria. If the owners of these idols are planning to return them, like in the war against, in the times of Yehoshua, that refers to the time when the Amorites were living in Canaan, and Yehoshua came to kick them out and defeat them. The Amorites were never planning to leave permanently. They were planning to come back and recapture their land and their idols. So if their plan is to come back and retrieve these idols, then the idols do not become nullified. So the Gemara wants to know why they needed to list all these four different cases. Utsricha, the Gemara says we need all four. De'itana love aleha, if the Braisa only brought the case of the idolater borrowing money against his idol, and midelo zavna labadla, for the fact that he didn't sell it, it wouldn't be bevatel. That's what you would have thought. And that's why the Mishnah had to tell us that case, because here he didn't sell it, he was barred against it. So if you didn't have that case, you would have thought if he didn't sell it, it's not never in battle. Aval nafla la mapolis, but if a wall falls on it, mitlo kamafnila, from the fact that he didn't dig it up, he didn't care about it, well, ima betuli batla. I might think in that case it's mevatel. So tzricha, and therefore I need those cases to tell us that it's really about whether the criteria is whether he's going to return to retrieve it or not. V'itan nafla mapolis, and if I only brought the case of when a wall falls on the idol, mishum de savar ha manchas kol ema de beina la shakilnala. He says, okay, fine, I know where it is, so whenever I can go back, I can get it. And that perhaps will be a case where it's not batal, since I can always go back and get it. Aval ganvu listim, but when thieves take the idol, if you don't follow and chase after the thieves, well, you're never going to get it back. So of course you're assuming that it's going to be nullified. Tzricha, therefore, we need that case as well to say that the criteria again is, are you planning to retrieve it at some point? And if you only had the case of when thieves come and steal the idol, mishum nesavar iovit kachavim shakela miflach palachla iyishol shakla idi didamia yekarin mazbin lala ovit kachavim upalachla. You could rationalize and say, when thieves steal it, if the thieves are idolaters, well, they're gonna you worship it itself, so I'm not gonna nullify it since they're gonna continue worshiping it. And if a Jew steals it, well, they're saying, well, it's valuable to have this idol, so I'll make money on it by selling it to another non-Jew who will then worship it. So they'll never nullify it. But if the owners just stop worshiping the idol and then just leave the country, from the fact that they don't take the idol with them, I would think that obviously that in that case the idol would be nullified. Therefore, we need all four of these cases to teach us that it depends whether they're planning to retrieve it or not. So the Gemara says, as continues analyzing the Braisa, the criteria was, if you're going to return like the Amorites with regards to the war again against the Jews in the time of Yehoshua. Gemara says, "Midi milchemes Yehoshua mihader hader." Did they ever come back? The Amorites never came back. So, what exactly are you saying? if they're going to come back like they did in Yeshua. They didn't come back. So rather, what it means is as follows. If they end up returning, it's like the Mechemes Yehoshua, that they intended to come back, and therefore they're not nullified. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. I mean, it just seems silly to deal with, to mention the example of Yehoshua. Like, who cares? Just say, if they're planning to retrieve it, that's one thing, then it's not batel. If they're not, they're not. Why do you have to throw in, as like a throwaway piece, the idea of the war in Yehoshua's time against the Amorim? So the Gemara answers, it's true, we don't have to, but Milsa Agav Urche Kamash Mulan. The Gemara is teaching us another halachic idea, which is as follows. Kihada Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Yisrael Shezakaf Levena Lehishtachavos La Uba Ovid Kachavim Mehishtachavala Asra. If a Jew takes a brick and turns it upright with the intent of bowing down to this brick and making it his Avodah Zarah, and before he's able to bow down to it, an Ovid Kachavim comes and bows down to it on his own, the Ovid Kachavim nullifies it and makes it Avodah Zarah, not nullifies it, the Ovid Kachavim makes it Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, Minalanda Asra. Well, from where do we know that it became Asr? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kitchila Shel Eretz Yisrael. We learn it from the beginnings of the creation of the halachas of Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean? The Amar Rachamana, the Pasuk says, Va'asherim Tishvun Be'esh, that when you go into the land of Israel, you have to destroy all the idols, the Asherah trees. So the Gemara says, hold on a second. Michdi. Let's analyze this pasuk for a moment. Yerushi Yilhem Me'avoseyem. Eretz Yisrael is an inheritance from our forefathers. Ve'ein Adam Oser Davar She'eino Shelo. No one can prohibit something which doesn't belong to them. If the land of Eretz Yisrael was ours from the beginning of time, then how can Avodah Kochavim come in and make our Asherah trees Avodah Zara? They don't have that right. They can't oser something which is not theirs. Ve'im Yishum Hanach Deme'ikara Bibitula Ba'alma Sagilhu. And furthermore, if you're going to say, well, they were there, they were living on that land, and therefore they became Avodah Zarah, since they owned the land at that time, well, the reality is, they can be Mevatalit. The Jews could just tell the Amorim, or other nations, to nullify the Asherahs, and then they can use it. So why do you have to burn it down? So the Gemara says as follows, fascinating idea. Ella, midapalchu Yisrael le'egel, galo adai taihu, denichalhu b'avodas kochavim. When the Jews bowed down to the Egel Hazav, they revealed to the world that they are happy with Avodah Zarah. That they want Avodah Zarah, they want to worship idols. V'chi asu avod kochavim. So when the Avod kochavim came into Eretz Yisrael, the Amorim were there, and they bowed down to the Asherahs. You know what they were doing? Shlichusa didhu avdi. They were doing our shlichus. They were our agents to worship the Asherah trees. Now we were happy with that. That's the theory. And therefore, and how do we bring this back to our case? Hachanami, in our case, here too, Yisrael shezakov levena, when a Jew turns the brick upright to bow down to it, and then the non-Jew ends up bowing down to it. Gali daite denichale bodes kachavim. By turning the brick upright to bow down, he was revealing that he wanted to serve it. So when the non-Jew, the idolater, comes to bow down to it, it becomes aser. Right? V'chi asa ove kachavim upalachla shlichusa didei kavid. He's doing the shlichus of the Israel. So then the Gemara asks, well, hold on a second. I understand the idea by the Egel that they were doing our shlichus because of our sin by the Egel Hazav, but why are we connecting this to our case when it comes to the brick? V'dilma be'egel hu denichel hu b'midi achrin yalo. Maybe we can say that this only applies, this rule of shlichus edidei only applies at the time of the Egel, but it doesn't apply to anything else. So why should we asur the Asherah trees? That wasn't our shlichusayu. That wasn't at the time of the Egel. The Gemara says, Amar kra, Eile elohecha Yisrael. The Jews screamed out, where is our God? In other words, melamin she'ivu le'elohus harbe. They desired many forms of idolatry. Which ones were they? Were they Asherah trees? Were they not Asherah trees? We don't know. It doesn't say. We just know that they were misave to many different types of avodah zarah. And therefore, we have to say, Ema, Oh, so the Gemara asks, Ema kol de bahari egel nitzru mikan ve'elach nishtri. Well, then fine. So let's say that only the types of avodah zarah that were connected to the egel should be usher, but any other avodah zarah should be prohibited, should be mutter. The Gemara says, man mochach. Well, who can prove what avodah zarahs existed at the times of the egel and what didn't? Clearly, there were so many, and it's impossible, too numerous to count, and impossible to quantify and unearth. Therefore, we have to say that all forms of avodah zarah are going to be usur as part of this connection to the egel, and therefore, even with the brick, turning the brick on its facing up in order to bow down to it, would also, if a non-Jew comes and bows down to it, then the brick would become usur. That is the power of avodah zarah. It was so strong and so prevalent in at the time, and it's a theme that continues to haunt us today, not in the form of traditional avodah zarah, but other forms of idol worship in terms of money or media and other things like that, which are now what we call our modern forms of avodah zarah, which is rampant in our world. And Eilel Hecha Yisrael, they desired so many gods. Unfortunately, the challenge that we have is to focus on only our one God, which is Melech Malchei HaMelechim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But just to quickly recap, we started off with a brisa about these four different types of items that, do they become nullified or not? And the criteria we gave is it depends if they're planning to return or not. If they're planning to return, then it is going to not be batel. If they're not planning to return, then it will be batel. The fact that we mentioned this idea of Kilmechemes Yehoshua, discussing Yeshua and the Emorim, that was a little bit of a side point that we made to talk about the prohibition that stems all the way from the Egel, which prohibits us from all avodah zarah for all times.